Hello, everybody. Oh, my goodness. It's been so long. Happy to get back on the mic. And there's nobody better to do it with than Riley. I mean, we were just talking about it off air. It's been almost a month because everybody knows the nation is kind of in a little bit of a weird spot right now.
Chaos, brother.
I know, man. We're in a little funk and we've both been dealing with a little bit of state activation, and we'll leave your state activation side. We'll leave that a little bit unknown, but mine, I talked to our PAO and kind of got some stuff cleared that I can talk about and stuff like that. I got activated and went to DC, Washington, DC for
DC.
The District of Columbia. No, and it was super, it was very, very interesting. And we were, I believe we were the first, like, my platoon that I took to Washington, D.C., I believe we were the first National Guard unit other than the D.C. National Guard unit that made it boots on ground to start protecting the White House, the monuments, help with local metro, help protect protesters, help do traffic control points, and just help with all that stuff. And I'll tell you what, from, you know, like myself, I'm a combat veteran and from active duty in the 101st. And then I got into the Guard, which most of the listeners know that whole story already. But you want to talk about a transition from like wartime to being like activated stateside to protect protesters, protect law enforcement, protect all these people. And it's like in the monuments and just the city and stuff like that, it's a total change of what you would like, what I would ever imagine doing. But
dude, yes,
I mean, it's crazy.
So like we talked when we first heard about you guys, like, for one, I didn't even know that it was the Indian National Guard going out there at first. Like, I had no idea until you already got back.
Yeah.
Like, ain't no fucking way. But, like, so we were talking about it on my SAT orders, and we're like, dude, like, so us as infantrymen, we have, like, one job, right? That's to fucking shoot and kill.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. So, like, when I heard about us as infantrymen going to defend, or not necessarily, well, yeah, I guess it's defend.
Protect,
but like, protect our own people, whether it be blue or protesters, you know, whatever. I was like, man, like, all it takes is like one guy to have a flashback, bro. Like, just once, you know. Like, it was making me nervous, but I'm glad it all went good. Like, I see nothing but videos of like the protesters being respectful towards us. Then there are, you know, there's that select few that's not, but like, man, I can't tell you, like, I was nervous. I was like, it's like, I'm just worried that something, you know, somebody's going to be really upset, or there's going to be a video of us out there knocking some protester on their ass or something, but I'm glad it went the way it did.
Oh man, I tell you what, it went well. There was some times where it got like, oh man, like first night boots on the ground, running the checkpoints and stuff like that before the rest of my platoon got in there. Like, I just took a checkpoint, and we were matched up with some law enforcement counterparts and stuff like that, and just kind of, you know, picking their brain on everything that was going on. And there was a difference, you know, there was peaceful protesters, and then there was kind of like the rioting group that were destroying stuff and vandalizing stuff, and it was just, there was two separate groups that were down there. And then, you know, it was just interesting because like the first night was probably one of the most hectic nights when we were down there. And it was just like, it was kind of like one of those things where it's just like, it's kind of like a shock and awe thing. So we're there, we no weapons or anything like that. We were just there just to be a presence there and just say, hey, you know, we're here to protect everybody. We're here to protect the protesters that are peacefully assembling. Excuse me. And we're here to protect the law enforcement, and we're just here to protect everybody and try and protect everything.
Right. So we were kind of like the mediators, is what I'm getting.
Yeah, more or less. Like that's a perfect prime example of what I would call it. And I tell you what, I mean, for as many, like the second day that we were there, we were like, I was bouncing around from like, you know, checkpoint to checkpoint, checking on guys, just kind of doing my thing, making sure everybody was all good. And a group of I wouldn't even call them protesters, just a group of people came up and they were like, hey, you know, can we all just like pray together real quick and just kind of just, I want, you know, say a prayer for you guys. And it was kind of like this thing where I was just like, you know what? I mean, it's like, yeah, some of these people are doing some crazy stuff and, you know, destroying shit. But then like a lot of these people are out here just kind of preaching a thing that is not bad, you know? And it's like, as time went on, when we were there, I just started to realize a little bit more and a little bit more talking to people and stuff like that, that like, you know, that's what I fought for. You know, that's what I went to war for, was like, you know, for people to peacefully assemble and protest. It's one of those most glorious rights that the people of America have. I mean, as long as they're not doing anything crazy, beating the shit out of each other or going crazy, destroying stuff. But if you peacefully assemble and get in and then try and get your message across, like I am now, like I'm a big believer in that now. Like I get it. Like I feel like I learned a lot from that experience.
Hell yeah, man. That's awesome. Like you got to experience it firsthand, whether it be the good or the bad side, you know, you get to see the good people doing what they're supposed to do and what you actually, like what I signed up for, what you went to war for, you know, like. So I can imagine how cool it is to see firsthand.
Oh yeah. And like getting it, being able to interact with those people. And probably one of the craziest things is like walking in full kit, no weapon, walking in full kit and just going around all of the Capitol, the Washington Memorial, you know, just everywhere, the White House. We were around the White House area. I mean, just all of the cool monuments, and just like, you're just kind of strolling around. Well, I was kind of strolling around because I, you know, had to bounce all around and just seeing all of it. And then there was some, like, there was definitely some sketchy things, but nothing ended up being bad. I mean, we found a couple random backpacks that were more than likely like homeless people's and stuff like that. And dude, myself and I believe it was 8 other guys, we all got to salute the POTUS.
Oh shit.
Yeah, man. His motorcade pushed through one of my checkpoints and we got to salute the POTUS. We didn't get to see him because it was, it was pouring rain. It was just pissing out. But we got to salute the POTUS when he was making his way to the White House, which was like, I mean, I don't care what side of politics you're on, whether it be the left or the right. I would have been just as pumped up if it was Obama or Bush or Clinton. Like, getting to salute your commander-in-chief, no matter what side of the fence you're on, like, that to me was just like a true blessing for what one of the things that we were there for. Because it's like something like, how many people get to say that they got to salute the president? It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a select few, man. It's got to be a select few.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I'm sure there's more than what, but to me, like, you know, yeah, I was active. I was active duty. And then, but like from the National Guard side, it's just doesn't seem like it'd be like a real common thing.
Right. No, I completely feel you, man. I mean, I've never been to D.C., so.
Yeah. No, neither have I until then. I've never been there until then. I'd love, like I was joking, it's like I want to take my wife and kids back there one day and be like, oh, see that right there? See that little dark alleyway right there? Yeah, I ate dinner in that dark alleyway one night, or, I walked down this road like a bunch of times following protesters with my medic and just wanted to make sure that my guys were good, you know?
I was sitting there talking like me and another guy that was on orders with me. It's like, dude, imagine like 50 years from now, we're sitting around and like our grandchild pulls our uniform out of the closet and like, oh, what's this, grandpa, what's this ribbon for? I'm like, oh, that's state active orders.
Yeah. Well, we like that. I mean, that's the same for us. It's like, I think we got like two ribbons for going on state active duty. And then like there's one for state active duty. And then there's one for being deployed to DC.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, it's crazy.
It's cool, man. I mean, it's neat. You know, it's one thing that we get, you know, I feel like I finally kind of did something instead of just showing up and drilling and sitting around and felt my ass for 6-7 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm telling you right now, for the guys that got to experience any part of the state activation, you have finally met a point in your career where you've truly been utilized in some type of situation. And it's such an awesome thing. And it gives such a good drive for guys to stay in and progress their career and just want to be part of that more often whenever those times come.
Right.
Because they will come again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Whether it be here or overseas. I know they'll need us again. Especially being, you know, Indiana with the vast majority of us being infantry. I know it's going to be, you know, we're highly necessary.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just like, I don't know, it's just that experience and like talking, like actually getting to talk to the protesters, the people that were down there, like, you know, yeah, we got yelled at, screamed at. I don't know how many people got things thrown at them or anything like that, but I think it was far and few between. The one of our last nights on ground, that was one of the most hectic times. And I got to link back up with some of our like law enforcement counterparts that were part of a different, I mean, they weren't just local Metro guys. I won't say what branch of law enforcement they were in, but they were, you know, and I was with those guys like the first night and they're like, "Oh man, you're back." And it's just like, yeah, man, I'm back. I was like, we got to go to the other side of, you know, the other side of town. Can you help us out or anything like that? Because we were in a big old charter bus. And they're like, oh, don't worry about it. We'll give you an escort. We'll give you a full escort over there. And they gave us an escort through the protesters and stuff like that. And just I got off the bus and was talking with them. And they were kind of chatting with me. And they kind of were throwing around some numbers. They said, yeah, we've had about 500,000 or something like that protesters, you know, over the time frame that we've been here, which they got there the same day that I got there. And it's just like, geez, man, that number's not small.
It's a lot of people. Like, that's the majority of that area.
Yeah.
Like,
but and it's like, I got to see the good and the bad of all sides, though. You know what I mean? It's like, as much as like I am in total support of law enforcement and all those other agencies and stuff like that, but you kind of got to see a little bit, I mean, not like people being brutalized or anything like that, but just like the language that they would put off and kind of the instigation of some things and stuff like that. You got to see both sides of it, and it just kind of, and like, just being like me personally, it's like, yeah, I have my political beliefs and a lot of I've expressed them on the show before. I'm a Trump supporter, but at the same time, it's like I support the people as well, you know, and it's like,
yeah,
but when you got the uniform on, it's like you have a commander in chief. You're all about professionalism at that point. When you take it off, you can have your own views and stuff like that. You know, and that's the love of what you do, and that's the sacrifice that you have to make. And like, I'll tell you what, all of the other National Guard units that were there, they were doing crazy stuff, being kind of unprofessional at times, and there's videos that got captured of it. I will tell you right now, the Indiana Guard that was on ground in DC down to the very fuzzy privates that just got in and somehow made it on state active duty orders to go to DC. The amount of professionalism that came out of the Indiana National Guard, it was just staggering. Just everybody was so professional and they put all of their issues or beliefs aside to just be professionals while we were there. And it was just, I tell you, it's something that I'll never forget, especially like the guys that were there with me and stuff like that. It was just such a wonderful, amazing thing. and just how professional.
It was just like, and it's such a bonding experience. Like me, I got close with some guys that I never would have thought I would have got close with when we were on our SAT orders, and like, or at least when I was. And we still bullshit. You know, I sit around and play COD with them and shit. You know, I was close to them before, but like, our bond got super tight.
Oh yeah, it always does when you do something like this, man. It does.
Well, we were stuck in a hotel too, so
yeah. Yeah,
either they're stuck in another area, but we did some goofy shit, man, for sure. Especially Ricky. his name I'll throw out whenever because he doesn't care. He's a trip. But dude is just like our time in Australia, the same crazy shit he was doing there.
He's a morale guy, man. He's your morale guy.
He's the greatest. He's the greatest, one of the greatest morale guys.
He might not be the most stellar at PT. He might not always be the most squared away individual, but he's good enough. He's ours. And I tell you what, like, when he needs to be professional, he can. He's a guy that is your straight morale guy within the platoon that keeps everybody high.
He's the epitome of E4 Mafia. Like if it was posted on a picture, it'd be Ricky's goofy ass standing there just grinning.
Exactly.
When he gets out, man, we'll have to get him on here and have him tell the stories because it'll be better when he tells them.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like this dude, he's just something else, man.
Oh, for sure.
Like I said, man, like we just did. We were bored, dude. Like we just. We sat around and just got fat. We got fat, and then the next day we'd try to get buff, and then the fat would outweigh the buff, and we'd just eat again and eat again. Kind of like Australia.
Yeah, yeah. Except for Australia, you're just on mission nonstop. That was the one thing that was kind of cool about DC is it was just nonstop. You were just on mission nonstop. Every day you were doing something, and it makes the time pass by a lot quicker. And, you know, and another thing, oh my God, you're talking about if we really truly had like 500,000 or less, or, you know, even if it was 100,000 or 10,000, because there was supposedly at least 10,000 on ground the last day that we were there that pushed through all the checkpoints. And out of the three companies that went with us that were there the full duration of being, or, you know, of the whole operation, we had all those protesters. Not a single person, to my knowledge, yet has come back to coronavirus.
Yeah.
Figure that one out.
And you know there was no 6-foot social distancing.
Oh, no. And then the CDC comes out and says that protesting's good. And, you know, it's not bad for...
Then you see these other ones where it's like a Trump rally will come up and they're like, oh, high risk of coronavirus.
Oh, yeah.
Trump rally. And I'm like, all right, guys. Like, I don't pick sides much. I'm one of those where, like, I appreciate some things that the Democratic Party does.
Yeah, exactly. Me too.
Some things that the Republican Party does, and the liberal or Libertarian Party, or, you know, they kind of try to take the best of both worlds, but it doesn't always work that way.
There's got to be a check and balance. You have to have two parties to check and balance each other. And like, I'm not a big believer in a large government. I think it should be kind of small and state dependent. But at times during like the crazy times that we're in right now, sometimes you need
Southern way, I think.
Yeah, you need big government at times. And this kind of is a point where it shows. But at the same time, it's like, man, I think for the whole shutdown, there should have been more for the people and less for big corporations and stuff like that. Now you need the big corporations, but you know, the big corporations, they're making the killer money. The small businesses, they're not, and they need help. You know, that's the one thing. And they need to figure something out to help these small businesses. Cause like I've heard numbers that come out like 40% of these small businesses and stuff like that are not going to make it through this whole shutdown. And that's terrifying. You know, that's a little bit terrifying.
Because that's people who live in the American dream, man. That's what, you know, my ancestors came over for, you know, was for that American dream. And, you know, something crazy like this, man, I know it was inevitable, you know, like, one thing, you know, someone could have done this or someone could have done that, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Part of the world.
And that's the thing is, like, you can't blame, like, I see, you know, and I'm not trying to, like, sound contradicting to myself here, but, like, they had no idea what to expect or how to go about this because it's so crazy. Like, you know, it is. But now, like, I've been doing some studying on it and stuff like that. It's like now more and more stuff comes out and they're saying, well, this virus can't live with ultraviolet light. So, like, if you're outside, it's really hard to pass or transmit this disease because the light kills it. Because now they're saying within 60 seconds, the virus is killed once it's emitted to the outside light. But then they're, you know, and it's like they're also saying that, but you got to realize these viruses, especially this virus, it can adapt and it can change that and stuff like that because it's such a weird virus and thing, you know, this thing that's going on. Which
they're predicting for it to come back in like fall.
Well, there's the prediction of that, but then it's like, if the winter's harsh enough, you know, a lot of viruses won't survive a harsh, harsh winter. But are we going to have a harsh winter? We're not going to have a harsh winter. Now there's sandstorms. There was murder. There's murder hornets, sandstorms, whatever. I mean, there's all.
We had a dust. I grew up calling them dust devils, but it was a dirt tornado. We had one in South Bend just a couple days ago.
Yeah, well, now that one's pushing from the Sahara, and it's like, okay, people, realize this happens, like, either it happens, like, every year or every couple years that this dust cloud gets picked up and pushes across, I believe it's, what, the Pacific or something like that, and then, and pushes into America. It happens, like, every year, and it's just like, people are just putting that out there because it's just something else for people to worry, try and stir some shit up for people to worry about.
It's money for the media.
Yeah, it is. It's clickbait, clickbait, clickbait. And it's just like, okay, people, do your research. Now's the time. Yeah. You see something like that, why don't you dig into it and see what you can figure out?
It's I mean, like a lot of shit like that that happens more often, you're not even digging. Like, you can just Google either a symptom, like coronavirus, Google symptom. There's many other viruses that we've had in our country that have given that same kind of symptoms.
Yeah.
And like with the dust clouds, it happens all the fucking time. Yeah. Not new.
What's new? What's new, man?
No digging.
It's like the murder hornets. Okay. And like, I know Joe Rogan talked about it, but like, a praying mantis absolutely demolished a murder hornet.
Yeah. Praying mantis are badass.
They are, man. They're freaking sweet.
Can you imagine if like one day they woke up and just decided to like, get huge,
like evolve,
fight off, yeah.
Oh, fight dude! Off, if they were, if they were 6 foot creatures, dude, that it would straight up be like a Starship Troopers movie because, like, dude, we couldn't like we'd have to kill them from a distance because if they close with, they would freaking destroy us, dude.
Imagine just like a big ass fucking cloud of them flying overhead. Like you're just sitting here fucking unloading on them. It'd be nuts. And then, well, I mean, let's be fair. All the female prime mantises eat the males.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You have to fight off a bunch of females. So they wouldn't, I mean, if they were that evolved to get that big, they'd probably develop other female characteristics. So I think we'd be, you know, some of them would be all right.
And if they were 6 foot tall, they were the same size as a human, you know. There'd be some crazy dude out there that would try and impregnate that thing.
Hell yeah. Might as well. I mean, you know, like, think about it. So, once the male prime mantis is done, he eats her head off. So, what's a better way to die than blowing your load, like, right before?
And then, like, just, I mean, just having your head eaten?
Then you're just gone. Yeah.
Just having your head eaten.
Well, it's like an instant beheading because they just take their claws or some shit, right? And just snap it off or some shit.
Well, no. So their claws are like levers. They're like levers. And like they can put out like, I don't know what you'd really call it, torque. I don't know. But they can put out so much pressure and force with their like claws or whatever you want to call them, their praying hands. They can literally put out so much force. Like there's a video floating around online of a praying mantis capturing a lizard and then just eating the lizard. And like these things can just eat anything. And like what they'll do is they'll trap it with the, you know, their lever hands or whatever, and they'll trap them and then they'll just eat them. They'll just eat whatever it is. It's like the video of praying mantis with the murder hornet. It literally just captures the hornet and then just eats its head and just starts eating its head until crazy. They've eaten birds before.
These things are like, they're like fucking, I don't know, they're like nature's tank. Like you just can't stop it.
They're something, man. They're crazy.
If an Apache helicopter was an animal, it'd be a fucking praying mantis.
But yeah, I mean, it's crazy, but no, yeah. And then, you know, it's like now I'm sitting back here, finally getting back to podcasting after, you know, getting off of orders and getting back home and finally getting the opportunity to do it. And when I came back, you won't believe what I picked up for some little extracurricular activity. Started like mountain biking.
What?
I got a mountain bike and now I've been biking.
Oh Lord. That's like what mountains do we have in Indiana that you're biking on?
Well, it's a mountain bike that's never seen the mountains, but I'm biking. That's like I did like 4.5 miles today. I did like me and my wife, we did like I think a little over 6 yesterday.
My knees hurt thinking about that.
Oh man, but you know what? It's low impact, so to me, it's so much better than running. Because I do not feel like running. I am against running. I'm against it. I hate it.
I fully support that. That's like when I go the very seldom that I go to the gym. I hop on that bike, dude, just fucking treadmill.
Yeah.
And let's be real. Treadmills suck. Running sucks.
Biking's not the greatest either, but it's better. It's low impact. Rather than slamming my feet on the ground, I'd just bike.
Right. Maybe they should just change our PT standard into like a 4-mile bike.
They do have that. They do have that for profiles. You can bike, you can walk, or you can run.
I need to get on that profile.
I feel like that'd be terrible to bike.
Probably.
Way worse than just biting the bullet and just running. Because, like, the walk for profiles, the walk for the standard, it's like, dude, you got to train for that. I've seen guys that have had to do that. Like, you got to get your Karen boots laced up, grab your little Karen weights, and you got to Karen walk your ass like you're in the mall.
Fucking power walking that shit.
I'm telling you, that shit's no joke. I knew a couple guys that had to do it, man. And they said they, because you know they were on like a permanent profile. They were jacked up from deployments and stuff like that. And they were like, dude, this walk, legit, no joke. But with that being said, we'll be right back after our sponsor segment. I got Riley on here. Thanks for coming on, man. But
always.
Check us out, Charlie Foxtrot Radio. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Anchor. Big shout out to Anchor for being a sponsor. And big shout out to America Made Co. for being our other sponsor. You can check them out on Facebook at America Made Co. That's the Facebook page. There's all sorts of merchandising on there. Check it out. Check out Anchor Podcasting. They're great. Good way to get yourself started. But yeah, we'll be right back after this sponsor segment. All right, thanks for checking out our sponsor segment. Got Riley on still here on Charlie Foxtrot Radio. We're going to just go ahead and keep this thing just rolling along. So we were talking about praying mantis. Man, we were all over the board. Praying mantises, dust clouds, murder hornets, DC, state activations, all that.
Dude, I'm telling you, those prime antices, though, are fucking nuts.
I know, man. Dude, this is crazy. The world that we live in, man, everything is meant to kill something.
Yeah. Yeah, unless you're in Australia, then literally everything's meant to kill you.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
For the Australian listeners, I'm sorry, man. Y'all stay safe.
Yeah, for as long as you can. I don't know how you did it this so far. I mean, I get it. Like, you were a bunch of crooks and criminals when you guys discovered Australia and like, what Europe sent you there, or what Britain or whoever sent you. Somebody sent you there. Maybe I need to check my history.
Somehow that worked.
Yeah. Somewhere that speaks funky-ass English.
Dirty English.
And they're not Canadians.
Yeah, those guys are just weird.
Yeah, well, that's because they're French.
Yeah.
But, hey, French, big supporter of the United States when we were trying to become a country, right?
Yeah, for sure, man.
But, no, it's, I don't know. Australia was fun, though. So, it's like... What's next?
I didn't meet somebody there that wasn't cool.
I know, dude. I know. Everybody was so cool. And it's
super cool.
Oh, yeah. I tried to get one of their artillerymen that I met when we were there.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to get him to come on the podcast, and he can't. I guess it's like something, like they can't have an open forum conversation for the world to hear.
So, like some UCMJ type shit?
No. Oh, yeah. Like probably like equivalent to that for us. Yeah. Something right. Like he would be punished for it or some shit like that. And I was like, oh, dude, I 100% get it. I mean, like,
for sure.
Like in America, like, dude, we make our rules up as we go. So like
fucking
for us,
freedom, brother.
I know it's fucking freedom, man. And it's such a
shit.
Amazing thing. And I'm not trying to down Australia. Those people are freaking amazing.
And the place is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Country.
Oh, my God. Their country is just gorgeous. I don't know if I don't think I could ever live there. But, I mean, it's an amazing place.
I wouldn't be okay with a giant-ass spider, you know, just being my friend and living in my crawl space or something.
Yeah. Or freaking snakes coming up through the toilet or whatever. But
or the toilet's flushing the opposite way.
Yeah, exactly. It's in the southern hemisphere. No. Oh. Yeah, the cake ran out right before I left for DC. I haven't got a new one, so Colorado
Kool. Yeah, dude.
Colorado Kool-Aid it is, son. Coors Light.
That's disgusting.
You're a terrible human being for saying that.
Here, I'm a whiskey man. Man.
Oh,
Jesus. I got really drunk on beer like recently, and I realized why I stopped drinking beer. Because holy shit, the whole thing, dude, getting old is kicking my ass.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even that old, but the hangover was outrageous.
Brutal, brutal. That's why I
couldn't manage.
I'll drink a little whiskey or tequila. Well, I can't drink tequila anymore. I had a bad incident on tequila one time, and my wife put a stop to that.
We talked about this before. Yeah. I'm pretty sure we talked about this.
I started getting buck naked out in the driveway after we got back.
Fuck yes.
And my wife said, yeah, we probably aren't going to drink tequila like that. Well, I'm not going to drink tequila like that again. And I said, you're probably right. I mean, you generally are right. That's why I married you. It's because you make me tote the line. So,
yeah.
But.
No shit. That's. If that doesn't describe, like, a woman, I don't know what does.
Right.
Like, those mother... The second you do something that's, like, completely unnecessary, they're on that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's cool, you know, whatever. I'm for it. So it's what us as men, you know, signed up for, I guess.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, that's why...
They're fucking on that shit, man.
That's why I got married, is because... I needed somebody that was going to make me toe the line and just stay the course, because I was a wild individual before I got married.
It's a very army way of life.
Mm. Yes. It's like,
it's
like, man, I remember when I was in my early 20s, and it's like, now I'm in my late 20s. Hey, shout out to me, dude. What was it? Like a... what was it, like a week ago on, like a week ago, I think. I hit over the hill, son, on my years, time in service.
No shit.
Yes, sir.
So, how you doing?
Man. But
hey, man, I boarded, so I guess that's a plus.
Hey, you did?
I did, yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
Fuck yeah, man. Trying to grow up.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I just got pinned, you know, got pinned for nothing. So, I'm all for it.
But, thank you, Army.
Yeah, go Army. That's for sure, man. Fucking go Army.
Cool type shit, man.
I know. Oh, but, no, I tell you, though, that, and it's just, like, I know we talked about it briefly before, but, man, D.C., like, going and doing that, it changes the outlook for me personally on everything that I, like, kind of believed before.
Right.
Just in the sense of, like, people that are out there peacefully protesting and stuff like that. And, you know, it's like I listened to Jocko Willink the other day talk about.
That dude is awesome.
Oh, dude, I love him. But, like, talk about law enforcement and, like, the pressure that they're under and how they need, like, they don't need to be defunded. They need to be, like, they need to have more funding and they need to get better training. Because I guess they're talking from what he had said was, and I think he hit the freaking nail right on the head with the way what he said. You need to better fund it and then you need to spend more time training on de-escalation and just training on how to just be, you know, just be and do the job better. Not that, because there's so many officers that do such a good job. And then you have bad ones that paint a bad picture on everybody. I mean, you have that in every profession. But he was he was right. Like they're under trained. They need to be better trained and just.
Yeah.
And you need to have some psychological treatment every, you know, periodically to make sure that these people are keeping their sanity. Because, like, these officers, you got to think, they go into work or that, you know, they get on duty. They go, what is it, 1041 on duty or something like that, I believe it's called. And when they go on duty, man, like, within like 15 minutes or as soon as they go on duty or before they were even supposed to go on duty, they could be going to a fatal car accident or a suicide or, you know, just something where somebody got severely maimed or, you know, a child that got beat up or injured or whatever. And these guys see this every day. And it's just like, I'm not saying that they're would be like, that does not make them mentally weak, but they just need to have a time to hone it back in and just, you know, the military does it. The military does it all the time. It's like, you know, we go through behavioral health classes and see essentially like a therapist. We do that once a year, mandatory. And it like, you go on deployment. Yeah, and if you go on deployment and stuff like that, you're going to do it before you go on deployment. You're going to do it as soon as you get back from deployment. And it's just to figure out where you're at and where your head's at. And, like, they have all sorts of things and methods to see what, you know, see where you actually are at. So, you know, even if you're lying, they can still catch you or whatever. But, like, most of these officers, they're overworked and underappreciated. But at the same time, it's like at times some of the bad ones that are out there, they dehumanize people and you can't have that. And like those guys are giving other really truly good officers to their core, you know, a bad rap. And it's the same thing as like the protesters and the rioters.
Yeah.
The rioters are giving a bad rap to the protesters that are out there that are doing, you know, trying to create a change or bring about a policy that could be more beneficial. And I get it. I now believe in both sides. And before I believe I was like sheltered to it because we live in, kind of we live in such a yeah, we live in such a good area, I would say.
Yeah, for sure.
Where we just have good people, whether they're on the left side or they're on the right side, they just get along. And every, like, that's the one thing I love about Indiana so much. And, like, I know everybody says, oh, we're just a bunch of hillbilly crackheads or whatever. But we are a state, or, you know, even like the whole Midwest, like, we are a group of people that, whether you're on the left or on the right, you don't have time to bullshit. And you have, like, everybody's just so hard-nosed and just, like, the working class.
Yeah, we're all just kind of here, man.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Like, it's like in the Midwest in general. Like, we're too busy getting our ass kicked by the weather to worry about what our neighbors'
but that's
life is like.
Exactly, but that's another thing is, so, the weather. Like I'm a firm believer that the weather has a lot to contribute to the way we are as people because...
Yeah.
Not everybody know, like, if we lost power being from where we're at, like, say the power grid just shuts down completely. Mm-hmm. No power. It's not coming back on. Or if it's coming back on, it's taking months. I believe Russia's that attacking. most people in the Midwest could survive winter if we had those types of situations. Because we have to deal with the winter every year. And generally, they're brutal. You know,
hard.
And it's like terrible. Like where you're at, where I'm at, we get hammered by lake effect snow. One of the smaller regions that just gets hammered by lake effect snow. Yeah, we get buried in it, and I love it. Oh my god, I love it. I love snow just as much as I love summer.
Yeah, I'm a big snowboarder, man. So I haven't been in a couple of years. So I'm getting, you know, got a kid and shit.
Oh yeah, but I'm in the same boat.
I love the fresh powder, man.
Oh, sure. Dude, for sure. It's like I have like a $600 Zephyr board and boots and all that crap. I snowboard, man. I love doing it. Like I love
waking up.
I used to skate
outside and smelling it.
Oh yeah, dude. It's like fresh cut grass.
Yeah, for sure.
Or right when it starts raining, the moisture in there. Oh, it smells so good.
Were you saying you used to skateboard?
Yeah, I used to skateboard back when I was in high school.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And like I snowboard and like I wakeboard too. I'm not that great at wakeboarding though, but I wakeboard too. I'd probably say out of all of those, snowboarding's probably what I'm best at. And I'm not great at it.
Yeah.
But I mean I can carry myself. I can hit some of the jumps and stuff for like sure. That. I'm not out grinding rails or hitting quarter pipes or anything like that, but I can handle my own.
I was one of those like I literally just wanted to do anything that involved a board. Like, I was mediocre at everything that involved a board, but I did it all just because. Except for surfing. I haven't had the pleasure.
Oh, God, I don't know if I'd want to do that. I don't like the ocean. That's why I joined the Army. I hate the ocean.
Yeah, I don't like not being able to see my feet, dude. That shit creeps me out. Or like to see the ground beneath my feet. It's just weird.
Dude, people are getting attacked by freaking sharks and hippos, and I don't like the water. Nope.
That's fair.
I wakeboard.
I go to one of those.
I wakeboard in the lake. What's that?
I go to one of those, like, fake surfing places that, like, makes the waves.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
Exactly. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way to do it. That's the only way you'll catch me doing it.
Hell yeah, man.
But...
shit's tons of fun, dude.
Oh.
Just like, it feels like, well, now I'm into my motorcycle.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's like super fucking freeing in the summertime. Just because, like I said, I'm getting old and my bones don't work anymore, so I can't. I used to longboard a lot, dude. I'd ride my longboard for miles.
That's like, awesome. That's why.
Miles, and I can't do that anymore.
That's why I picked up biking.
Yeah.
Oh man, me and the wife, we almost bought another Harley the other day. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the perfect price. My wife wanted it. I didn't want it. She wanted it.
Really?
Yeah, and I said, I just don't think we're ready for this. And then she was like, she's like, yeah, I guess you're right. We don't. It's not a need. It's a want right now. And I said, exactly. Yeah. And it's just something we do not need at the moment.
I 100% agree with that. I was like, I literally just jumped both feet in. Like, my buddies were always hounding me about having a Harley. Like, you know what? Fuck it, dude. I'm just going to jump in this shit. I'm getting a Harley today. Went out and bought mine. But I don't regret it, man. Thanks, sweet. But no, I completely agree with you, man. It's definitely not a necessity by far. Well, like, you have to pay for something that sits in your garage 50% of the year.
Yep. That's another thing. It's like, that's like the, like, I got the my little Jeep Wrangler. That's my new project. That's my new project. And like my dad, like, and like, I haven't got to do anything with it, but, or help him on it at all. But like my dad, he's restoring a 30 something Model A or model. I'm sorry, not Model A, Model T.
No shit.
Yeah. From literally, I mean, from chassis up, dude. I'm talking, he found one that was in excellent condition, but it went through a barn fire. And then he found a rolling chassis with a motor for like cheap. And so he bought it. So he's got two chassis, and then he's got the full body for the other, for the, to put on the new chassis.
I mean, those bitches were all steel. Like, so yeah. I can imagine it, you know, I mean, the house fire probably did a number to everything else, but the body itself has got to be pretty great.
Oh yeah. The body's great. The only thing that was bad is the roof of the cab. The roof of the cab, I believe part of the barn fell on it, and so it caved the roof in. So he's going to, like, okay. I believe he's going to, like, chop top it. He's going to, yeah, he's going to, like, chop top it and put a new roof on it, and then he's going to throw it on the new chassis that's got a brand, not a brand new, but it's got a motor that's already been gone through.
Right.
So it'll be interesting. And then he says, and then, you know, the chassis that was in the barn fire, you know, I might just find a new body to put on it. I don't know. Time will tell. It's
like, just, you know, just might do it. How long has he been working on him? Is it recent?
Yeah, last 3 or 4 weeks.
That's pretty cool. But he's finding all his parts for that, like, pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. But
he definitely hit the jackpot on it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And it's like, he does that. He does that stuff all the time. It's like, I did, it's like, he was doing a 54 Ford F-100 when I was doing my 65 Mustang, and I didn't have my own house at the time, so I had the 65 Mustang in his shop, and we were working on them at the same time, side by side, and he was just teaching me all sorts of stuff going along the way with body work and paint and everything like that, and it was just like one of those things. It's like, ah, oh, I want to do something like that again with the old man eventually. You know, before he gets too old to do them anymore or whatever, because it's just fun. It's like this Jeep, this little Wrangler that I have. It's like, oh, whenever I get money to throw at it, I throw money at it, and it's like,
right.
I've already done so much to that thing, and then, like, I bought that thing for so dirt cheap, and it's perfect. There's no rust on it anywhere.
Mm.
Nowhere is there rust, and I put, you know, new shocks, and I'm getting ready. I'm just waiting on leaf springs to lift it. And then, you know, I've gone through all the brakes, replaced all the brakes, the drums, the pads, the rotors, had to end up replacing the calipers. We put a new computer in it because that's why it wasn't running originally. And then I, like, rhino-lined the tub, and I just been working on it little by little. And it's so much fun. Cause that's like the escape for not having the Harley, because you can take the top off and then just put the kids in it.
Yeah.
You know, put the kid in it. So.
So I've always wanted to, like, my biggest dream was to have a Jeep Wagoneer.
Oh, that's awesome.
I want a pearl white one with the wood side. Like, I want the wood panel on the side because that's fucking sweet. I want to lift that bitch, do whatever with it. They're just fucking cool. And also, like, so, like, you know me, dude, I'm, like, the whitest motherfucker there can be. Like, I'm, like, super white, neon white. I want an old, like, 70s Cadillac, and I want to put hydraulics on it.
That's awesome.
Hydraulics and, like, Dayton's or something. Some badass wheels on it. I've always wanted to do that just because I always thought that shit was cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, cool, like, one of my dream vehicles is a Lincoln Continental.
Yeah, like an old school.
Yeah,
they're badass.
I wanna do one so bad. I want to do like a top-down restoration for it.
Mm-hmm.
And just go through it. And like, because the Lincoln Continental, it's always been something to me that's just kind of always stood out. It's a giant car. Just a massive car.
Long and wide. Dude.
Yeah.
They're huge.
Exactly. And I want to do one. I want to restore one. I almost did that instead of the 65 hardtop Mustang that I had. I almost did that instead. But it was a little bit more expensive than the Mustang that I found. And the Mustang that I found was like perfect for the price. So that's why I went that route. But I don't know. One of these days, I'm going to build a pole barn out here. And that, like, I'm going to get some project rolling. Or, you know, just – I want to put a lift in. I want to put a car lift in when I go to build it. Just because, man, you know how functional that thing would be for me? Because, like, I work on stuff all the time. I never take my vehicles to the shop. I did have to – you know my new truck – my new Silverado, I did have to take that to the shop not that long ago. They had to I had to get a new freaking ECM put in it. Check that out. On a 2018 Silverado, new ECM, new throttle body.
Why?
No idea.
Like a factory default? Or?
All just took a shit one day.
That's so weird. Like an ECM, like I could go out and pull an ECM out of like a 96 F-150 or F-250 or something, and it'll be like, all right, whatever, let's do this shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking crazy that would just...
Well, the new, like,
shit luck.
New vehicles, now, you can't work on them. You can't work on that.
No.
If I put an ECM, like, if I would have put an ECM in that truck, I don't have the technology to reprogram it for that truck.
They make it so you have to take it to a Chevy dealer or something.
Yeah, and it's stupid.
Just monopolizing.
Yep. And like, so you can't work on any of this stuff without about a $10,000 computer or scanner.
And even then, like, even after that, like, specialty tools that you would need for every little fucking stupid part, or just, like, they're so compact. So, like, you literally have to, like, they stuff all this fucking high-tech shit into a small-ass space. There's just no way anymore, man. Not like, you know, like you were saying, you work on the old 60 vehicles. How I even had a 98 F-150 or F-250 with a power stroke that I used to do all the work to. It was easy. Most of it was mechanical.
Yeah, exactly, man. Worlds are changing, man. They don't want you to work on your own stuff because they want you to bring it back so they can make that money.
Yep. Shit, I bought so in high school, I used to drive this little Volkswagen Golf. Fucking love that thing. It was a 20th anniversary GTI. So it had all fancy interior and shit. But like, of course I bought a German car. And like, I don't know how much you're familiar with German cars, but everything in there is Torx fit and Allen key. So I had to go buy all new tools just to work on my fucking car. I did all the work to that too, but it was a little bit harder.
Yeah. Well, that's like, I don't know. You're not going to offend me if you haven't. Have you listened to any of my buddy Pete from Active? Any of his episodes?
Yeah.
So, like, he was going to go get his brakes done at the shop on post. But they had this little shop where they teach you how to do it or whatever on post as well. And they were going to charge him like $600. And I was like, no, like, dude,
Jesus Christ.
I was like, let's go down there. Let's rent one of the lifts. It's like $20 and we'll change your brakes and your rotors out and one of your calipers out on our own. And you'll save yourself like at least $400 because they wanted like $600 or $700. And we went down there and did that. And he told me on one of the podcasts, he's like, that day was the day where I learned to wrench a little bit. And then now he completely custom fabricates all of his own vehicles. And he's like, and that's because I just that one day I showed him how to do the brakes.
That's badass.
And add that dude on Pete Franklin, add that dude on Facebook and look at all of his custom builds, dude. They are so sick. They are so cool.
Like exterior and interior, he just fucking just decks them out.
Oh, no. He does like custom fabrication rock crawlers.
Damn. Okay.
Like straight crawlers, and he custom fabricates everything. And like that dude can do anything with like a Toyota or Volvo or anything like that. Like he can do some crazy stuff. But Riley, it's been real. We'll do it again soon, man. It's been a pleasure having you on, man. It's been great. I'm glad to have you on. Yeah. We'll get this episode out there so people can finally tune back into Charlie Foxtrot Radio.
Big thanks for staying around.
Yeah, definitely, man. Big shout out to Anchor for being a sponsor. Big shout out to America Made Co. for being a sponsor. Make sure you check out America Made Co. on Facebook. There's a They got a private page there, or not private, it's open to the public, but a public page there for all the merchandising that we have and all that stuff. And then shout out to Anchor for being our other sponsor and taking care of us on the podcasting side, that's for sure. And for everybody out there, stay safe. You know, if you got to wear a mask, I guess wear a mask, you know, or whatever. But stay safe and just keep moving. Just keep everything moving. But thanks for checking us out on Charlie Foxtrot Radio. Signing off.
Thanks for listening. Bye.